to. People can't leave even if they want to. And I can't go to any Western country easily. I need a lot of paperwork and visa processes to be able to go. But these people who have powerful passport can go to my homeland. Meanwhile, I'm just stuck in here. I can't go back home and I can't travel to any country that I want. So I just find it a bit weird how almost in every interview people ask me, do you want to go back?
Thank you so much for being with us, but the show is ending. Plestia Alakad, The Eyes of Gaza, is her new book.
Forbes Avenue is a production of WRCT Pittsburgh. The opinions expressed are those of the participants and not necessarily those of WRCT, its members, or Carnegie Mellon University. Email questions or comments to pa@wrct.org.
Today on Forbes Avenue on WRCT, we're joined by two members of Twin Vision, Peter Hay and Sally Zielichowski.
Hi, Richard.
Hi, Richard.
Twin Vision is, I'll let them tell you what it is, but thanks to them, I've learned about artists like Amelia Presley and Winter Lark and Ella Harp and the Orme Woods and Diane Birch and the Rifle Birds of Portland, Talbot Mayo, all sorts of artists I would not have known of. So tell us officially, Peter and Sally, what is it you guys do for radio DJs like me?
Well, we find you because you're reporting your playlists to major national chart publications, and we reach out and send you the releases that we're working with. And by working with, I mean these are artists or record labels or managers who contact us and who are looking for radio exposure on their new music. So they hired us to go to a couple of hundred radio programmers like yourself. Just make sure that it comes to your attention, because we know you're on a mission to find good new music, and you'll listen to it. And over time, if we keep sending you interesting stuff, they'll be sure to open our files and get our CDs and pay attention to it. And then we collect all the information on who's playing it and report back to the artist, and they could use it to help them with their gigs. They could just use it to be satisfied that their music is reaching people in the world, which is gratification right on its own.
So Sally, how is it you've managed to make some of these artists stand out for me when you know of Wind at You that I get myself personally as the folk music director at WRCT, over 150 submissions a week?
Wow.
Well, I have, between looking at your playlists that you submit to FAI or Folk Alliance International, I look at your playlists, I've gotten a feel for what you're into, and I listen to your show, and I've even lucky enough to have met you and seen the music that you play. And basically, I know the sound or the subject that you are looking for. So if there is somebody specifically in the batch of things that I've sent out that I think, you should check out, either you've been overwhelmed or maybe you overlooked it for a moment. And I pick and choose what I think is going to resonate with you, what I think is going to fit well alongside all the new and older artists that you're playing on your show. And I've been very excited to be listening to your show and hear one of our artists represented, because I think it's just as rewarding for me to hear it for myself as it is for our artists to hear it for themselves as well.
Now, Peter, you and I are both in our, well, shall we say, 70s.
We have similar hair.
So, I mean, I think we both grew up thinking of the music business as sort of a three-legged stool where the radio is what connects the artist to the audience. But I think the music industry has changed a bit since we were kids.
Yeah, a couple of ways, I suppose, just like everything else.
But only a couple of ways? Come on.
Well, you know, still fundamentally it's folks like you discovering music and giving it exposure. So that's not dissimilar to what Alan Freed did. They gave him the music and he knew he could entertain audiences with it. But in the sense that the changes that have occurred are usually surrounded by the technology. So years ago, you needed a record deal to get your music on to radio stations. You needed a record company, if you were an artist, to make music and manufacture it and, you know, record it. Today, people can record at home, and they can create music, really top drawer music, and get it out to the world. So the landscape is much broader with different types of music, and that's a fundamental change. And then the way the music is exposed, there's some other avenues, but basically, Richard, you're doing about as traditional a thing as we can imagine, and since Marshall McLuhan, called "The Media Is the Message," when he wrote that book years ago, and acknowledged the fact that mass media changed everything, and but a lot of folks still find radio just like a wonderful way to get new music, and the reason folks listen to you is because you're their radio buddy, and you set them up for new things along with old things and entertain them nicely. But they want to find new things just like you want to present it to them. And you've done it in a special way, so they keep tuning in. And that's still the way it works around the country.
But radio is slipping way down as a way for people listening to music, for a way for artists to connect directly with listeners. I mean, there's so much new technology that lets artists go directly to the listener.
Actually, the last statistics I saw, radio was equal.
Oh, really?
As a matter of fact, I put this statistic up on our website under the section that has frequently asked questions. There's a question that I get, why radio? And so I put up there a bunch of current statistics that 35% of people that like and discover new music was the same percentage of people getting it from radio as they were from online services. So it's still pretty vital. And even if it wasn't that percentage number, it's still millions of people. You know, if you look at the weekly stats on even the major public stations like WYEP and WXPN and KEXP in Seattle, there are millions of people listening to the radio getting new music that way. So that's why we pay attention to it.
We are talking with Sally Zielichowski and Peter Hay from Twin Vision. And I think Sally has something she wants to add to that portion of the conversation there, Peter.
So I wanted to jump in with you know, Peter's talking about that radio is still very much, you know, alive and appreciated, and millions of people are hearing it. And I wanted to point out a big thing that I think is pretty great. You know, you've got a lot of streaming services and curated playlists by, you know, either it's an algorithm, so it's some sort of bot, or maybe it's somebody who just puts these custom playlists together, which can be really, really overwhelming. But one of the things I think is really great is that, you know, stations are streaming now. And, you know, so technology has actually brought certain stations, you know, to markets where it otherwise hasn't been. From speaking from personal experience, I did an experiment listening to KEXP for a straight week.
That's from Seattle.
Yep. Yeah. Just to kind of see, you know, what was going on. You know, they're huge. Everyone wants to be on their station. They do like live in studio performances that then, you know, they put up on other streaming, you know, sites and whatnot. It's been a, I guess, program that they've done for many years, even before streaming. I found that while listening to them in that week, I was introduced to more new music that just pulled me in immediately than I do if I just click, you know, Spotify's curated playlist for you.
That's because real people have been involved in that. It's not just some darn algorithm.
Exactly, exactly. And I'm not, you know, I'm not saying like every band sounded the same, because it didn't, right? And an algorithm or whatever is going to pick, it's going to lean heavily maybe towards, you know, goth rock if you've been like, around Halloween, I like to listen to a lot of dark goth rock and post-punk. And so it's going to curate playlists that are basically only that. But I am multifaceted. I love jazz and I love folk Americana. And, you know, I even like pop music. So KEXP is great because I got exposed to a little bit of everything. And, you know, DJs were talking about it and, you know, maybe giving you a little background about those artists and their projects, or if they're on tour. And, you know, that's it's personalized. And I wanted to listen to more of KEXP at that point. I didn't want to go to my Apple, you know, curated playlist for the week, because I really felt a connection to certain DJs that I'd gotten to know even after just 2 days. And it's great.
Well, I find driving around the country, I like to listen to the radio stations. I have never renewed my free SiriusXM license. And, you know, I've got other friends that are the exact opposite. They like listening to the SiriusXM things, but I find them so homogenized.
You're talking about Sirius?
I mean, yeah, there are 180 channels you can choose from, but within each channel, it's pretty much homogenized.
They used to be a little more adventurous, but they've gotten, like a lot of commercial radio, they've narrowed things down. So, for instance, my old friend Mike Marone used to run the channel called The Loft. And Mike is a great music aficionado and historian, and he would blend all kinds of old releases with new ones. But The Loft has been relegated now to the Sirius. You know, Sirius has a streaming side, an internet-only side. Mm-hmm. So they relegated The Loft to just that. And it's only on the weekends, apparently, on the satellite. To follow up on what Sally was saying, it occurred to me that algorithms are lazy. You know, I listen to some of my Spotify playlists that they've created for me, and I think after about 10 minutes, I got to get off. I'm tired of them sending me the same stuff. You know, there's no real variety based upon my feelings. And as Sally was alluding to the different DJs and how they personalize, that's why I mentioned that the DJ is your radio buddy. The great ones they're looking, they know what you like before you know it yourself, you know. We used to have one here in New York that I loved. His name was Vince Kelsa. And he had a free form show on WNEW-FM. So I'd hear him play. He played a demo by a new artist back then. It was Sean Colvin. Mm-hmm. And he played her demo. And he anticipated my tastes greatly, which is what I think a good DJ does.
Well, I sort of feel sometimes like us independent DJs at fiercely independent stations like WRCT are sort of lost in the wilderness a little bit. You know, like in our Pittsburgh market, WYEP has kicked off most of its roots music. And we've picked up some of those DJs over at WRCT. WZUM picked up one. But for some of the music is just gone. And it's just, to me, it feels like a cultural void is happening in the music business. It's like, if it can't be sold to our donors, WYEP doesn't want to play it.
Yeah, and they are considered, you know, I mean, they're a non-com AAA station, as it's called. They're supposed to be the adventurous ones. You know, they shouldn't be restrictive. You know, I think they're quality listeners and they're quantity listeners.
Right.
So if they're going to shift from quality listeners to quantity listeners, the music that you'll hear will be narrower and there'll be less variety and maybe less quality.
Peter, you've been in this business for decades. Sal, you've been in it for about two or three decades.
Couple decades.
All right, two decades. All right, we won't mention how many decades Peter's been at.
Well, she was like an infant.
Admittedly, when I started working for Peter, I remember when he turned the big 5-0, and you know, I've reached that point. So yeah, it's been quite an adventure together.
Well, what I was trying to get at is that since the three of us are all well over 21, we've seen the process of having a hit, how it's changed a lot.
There's kind of an unsung or untold story of the music business of what we could call a hit. And to some degree, if an artist can reach enough people to have a good career, they've had a hit. We work regularly with an artist named Dan Byrne.
I was just thinking about Dan.
Right. I always use him as an example of this. Dan's been around, very popular for about 15 years or so. He plays all over the country. He can, you know, wherever he goes, he can fill 500, 700 seat clubs. He opens for major artists. He gets his songs in major movies. And still, I could call lots of stations around the country and they never heard of him.
So true story, I became a fan before working with him back in 95, I believe. I saw him open for Ani DeFranco, who I feel like is just, maybe not a household name, but more people have heard of Ani than Dan, and Dan's been at this for about as long as she has. Yeah, it took a while for the name to stick, and he's still very DIY, but back to you, Peter.
As far as I'm concerned, Dan has had numbers of hits. You know,
he certainly has had what he'd consider success.
Exactly. If he has a good career, and he has a good career, if an artist, and there's a lot of artists out there under the radar in terms of being, you know, nationally known and household names, as they used to say. But they're hits because they could put out their own music if they want to, and they have independent ways of exposing it. A lot of it has to do with guys like you, Richard, who keep his music alive all over the country. And so he'll be around as long as he wants. You know, that's one level of hit. The other kind of hit, of course, is the obvious one where
Taylor Swift's or
yeah, well, I mean, that's just unbelievable, her levels of fame. And it's great to see that that's still there, because it gives all the other artists kind of this little inspiration that you know, one day they could be huge. And that was always part of the music business. You throw your hat in the ring and the magic of the music takes over, basically. I mean, in different ways you could market it, but when it comes down to it, it's the way people get moved by the music.
We are talking with Peter Hay and Sally Zielichowski from Twin Vision, who help artists promote their music by talking to radio stations like us here at WRCT. I just think that the world of music has changed so much. I mean, we've talked around it a little bit, but the technology is such that any Tom, Dick, or Harry who's managed to save or borrow $3,000 can put out a recording. It's not like back in the day where, I mean, Peter and I have been talking offline about a band like Big Star, that everybody loved their music. But I never heard it till the 1990s. And they were recording and playing in the 1970s. They had so much going for them. They even had Alex Chilton from the Box Tops, who had been the headline singer for the Box Tops, in the band. And they still couldn't move their records.
Yeah, that was a phenomenon of that time. And you know, they ultimately became very influential. They inspired a lot of other bands and artists who leaned toward that kind of power pop sound. It was an example, actually, of, you know, there's a lot of factors that have to come together for an artist to become popular. And among them, the record company has to have the right distribution and attention right when they're putting out their music. And they had a couple of problems with the record company in that regard. I mean, you know, the Beatles came out with their music in 1963, but we don't think of them as being popular until 1964, when everybody in America heard them. But they came out in America and in Canada. They had a lot of releases here that didn't make it because of the quirkiness of, it starts with the music. The record company that finally put them out in 1963, they didn't think they'd be popular, so they didn't put them out. And independent labels put them out. Well, if you're on an independent label, you're subject to all kinds of quirky things. So one of their problems was that the head of the label had a gambling addiction. And he spent all the promotional money. He lost it. He lost it in Vegas. They were on the cusp of becoming popular. They were on the big station in Chicago, and they couldn't get it on other stations because he didn't have any more money for promotion. So all these things, you know, that's sort of like Big Star too. I mean, just these little pieces of the puzzle don't always fit in for the artists at the time.
Well, it's one reason that I'm such a big fan of all these little labels, Swallow for Cajun, Arhuli, Folkways, Folk Legacy for Folk, or the one I really like now is Daptone for current soul and R&B. You know, I'm such a big fan of those. Or they can't see this on the radio, but I'm even wearing my Pinecastle label t-shirt. Mm-hmm. They do the same thing on bluegrass. I think it must be so hard for an artist who wants to make a living in music and get recordings going out in a greater area than just their hometown to find the right label, production, and publicity team to get their word out there.
Yeah, to get everything out. That's a wonderful thing those labels have done, because they're consistent in the type and quality of the music that they put out. And so people on your end, as soon as you see the label, you'll open the package and listen to the music. That's a great way of marketing themselves. And unfortunately, a lot of artists can't depend on recordings to make a living anymore. They have to get out and play in front of people. And that's not always possible. I mean, there are some monetary, you know, ways of making music through licensing of getting your music on TV or in films around the world. But still they'll ultimately have to perform if they want to make any real money at it.
Peter, I think Sally's heard me tell this story before, but between my sophomore and junior years in college, way back in the very early 1970s, I was working as a bank teller, and the promoter for the Allman Brothers concert in St. Louis came to my window to make his deposit. And all these $5 and $1 and $10 and $20 bills. But back then, it felt like you toured to support your record. And now it's like your record is part of the thing that you sell like a T-shirt at a concert instead of to support the live touring. Is that sort of your experience too?
Yeah, it's an advertisement for the and you know, so many artists are annoyed at Spotify and the other streaming platforms because they don't pay enough, but they really should look at those things as advertisements for their shows. You got to get at those Taylor Swift levels in order to make any money on the streaming platforms.
That's a very good point to make.
You know, I always say that people like you, for the artist, I tell the artist you're like the outposts around the country that support your music. And maybe you have them on to do an interview or whatever. Dan Byrne, getting back to him, a DJ here in New York, it was Vince Galsa, actually, the one I just mentioned, fell in love with his music when it first came out. And 15 years later, when I approached the major New York station, they said, oh, please, have him on. We want him on when he comes to town. And they had been playing him all that time because this one DJ started it years ago. So Dan's Outpost was the major station in New York City. And that's the way an artist has to find their way through this wilderness around the country. They got to find folks like you that'll, you know, support the shows through playing it regionally.
Well, you're talking about Dan Byrne also talks about their, really reminds me of, there's so many different levels of what success is in the music business. Yeah. Success does not mean being able to afford beach houses on both coasts, or, you know, make sure you've always got a limousine or a private jet. There's so many artists, you know, just thinking of like Joe Jenks out of Chicago or Peter Mulvey out of Milwaukee. There's so many artists who are able to make their living and make a comfortable living through their music. And that's to me what I feel like an independent DJ like me wants to support.
Right. And there's a big world out there. American artists can make it in different countries too, and helps to support what they're doing here.
I'll just ask you guys, do you have any final thoughts about like the state of the music business when you can't even buy a car with a CD player anymore? I mean,
so one of my big things, and this has made a big comeback in the last, let's say, 10 years or so, vinyl. Vinyl's great. Yeah, Peter knows. He's seen my collection. If I go, I find an artist, either I see them live, maybe if I've actually heard them, you know, on WRCT or a streaming service. First thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go online and I'm going to search, and I'm going to find either a website or a Bandcamp page. Richard, I remember you saying you like Bandcamp. I do too. And if they have vinyl, I'm on it. I'm on it right away because it's a whole listening experience. And, you know, the younger generation, which is very sort of, you know, chew it up and spit it out, right? As far as music is concerned, there is a percentage of them where they're starting to enjoy music, you know, like we are with something tangible, and they'll buy the vinyl, and it's exciting for them, right? This whole new experience, which, you know, we've grew up with it. So I think that artists, you know, that want to make a living off of their music, they do have to do more than selling the digital online, right? Because I'm hard pressed to pay for a digital, and I know that sounds bad, but I want something tangible, right? I'm going to go to a show. I'm going to buy a t-shirt. I'm going to buy vinyl. I want something I can share with others. I'm going to be on it. And I see a lot of shows I go to where that line, the merch line is long. And that's what you want to see for the artists because that's where they're making their money.
Peter?
Vinyl is beautiful. You know, it's a beautiful object. And this is merch now. It's not just the product, as they used to say. You know, Spotify has a section for the artists to post their vinyl and places where they could buy things. It comes down to the magic of the music. You know, what the future of the music business is going to be the way music tickles people. And God knows what this magic is, but it just drives passion within people. It's an invisible thing that makes you cry.
Thank you so much to Sally Zilichowski and Peter Hay from Twin Vision. And I sure hope you enjoyed our conversation about the music industry right here on WRCT Pittsburgh.
Forbes Avenue is a production of WRCT Pittsburgh. The opinions expressed are those of the participants and not necessarily those of WRCT, its members, or Carnegie Mellon University. Email questions or comments to pa@wrct.org.
This is Alex Patterson from The Orb, and you're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh on 88.3 FM. Suckers. Do it all again. Absolutely.
the past few years, the COVID-19 pandemic has affected how we live our daily lives.
Today, one in five Americans experience emotional and mental health challenges, but many of us do not understand what we are facing or how to ask for help.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, we work every day to eliminate stigma, combat mental illness and substance use disorders, and advance mental health.
If you or someone you love needs help, you are not alone. Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
This is WRCT Pittsburgh. It's Sean Watson. You're listening to A Minute Pause. It is my show. It happens every Tuesday, 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. You just heard Tame Impala, One More Hour from The Slow Rush, and Nicole Atkins, Mind Eraser from Italian Ice. This is the show before Skullfest weekend. Normally, I play a lot of real punk stuff, but we'll save that for this weekend. Mostly going to play a couple new-ish things next, and then a little reggae set, and then a little surprise of pop or metal records later the next hour, right after the radio and music calendar. Listen to better music. Consolidation is on Wednesday evenings from 7 to 10 p.m. WRCT is supported by Attic Records, located in Millvale. Attic Records is open 7 days a week. They sell new and used records and CDs from a range of genres, including rock, doo-wop, metal, reggae, and hip-hop. Attic Records is an independently owned and operated shop that purchases used records and CDs from collectors in bulk or by unit. Attic Records is located at 513 Grant Avenue in Millvale. More information about selling records and new releases is available at AtticRecordStoreInc.com or by calling 412-821-8484. All right, back to the music, an extended jam from All Them Witches called The Death of Coyote Woman. That one was from Live at the Garage. And then a band from Australia called Gnome, with playing their EP in its entirety called I Like It, which is from 2025, although it sounds like it's from the 60s. Anyways, you're listening to A Minute Pause with Sean Watson here on WRCT Pittsburgh.
she's by my side.
RCT Pittsburgh, the last bastion of pulchritude.